Go Strategic is pleased to present the School of Strategic Living. This is Lesson 12, entitled Recognizing Ministry Placement by Bruce Billington.
My name is Bruce Billington, and it's my privilege to bring you this message on recognizing occupational and ministry placement. In the time I have been a Christian, which is almost 20 years now, one of the things that has disturbed me is the reduction of our gospel to a message that only applies to a very small part of our lives. And this is certainly not the gospel that Jesus brought, nor is it the gospel our fathers in the faith died for. Christianity is a whole of life or holistic gospel that is intended to incorporate not only every aspect of our own life, but every aspect of life on this planet. I want to read to you one of my favorite scriptures, which is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and it reads, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." This tells us that nothing exists outside of Christ. And our failure to see this has made it too easy, almost attach Jesus to some areas of our life and leave him totally out of others. And it's also encouraged the tendency to treat Christianity like a supermarket where we take our trolley down the aisle and tend to pick up off the shelves things that we like, good grades at school or prosperity or a good wife or husband or whatever, and leave behind the things that don't particularly appeal to us, like discipline and study and serving others and dealing with our selfish nature and all of those other things. And in looking at all of this, it seems very relevant when we come to the subject of work. Work actually is, a good definition of work is anything that God calls or requires us to do. There is certainly no such thing as sacred work, like being a pastor or a teacher, and secular work, like being a truck driver or a kitchen hand or something like that. That is a heresy which goes under the name of dualism, and I know that you've heard quite a bit about that in your first year of this program. In the Old Testament, it's interesting that the same Hebrew word, and I'm not sure of the pronunciation, it's spelled A-B-O-D-A, but the same Hebrew word, abodah, is used to describe the execution of a definite daily task, whether it was something in the field or a mechanical employment or whatever, or priestly service and the duties connected with worship. On the other side, so no distinction was made at all in the Old Testament between what we call sacred and secular work. The Israeli people saw no difference between either, and nor did they have a word, two different words for either one of them. In Titus 1:15, we're told that to the pure, all things are pure or holy. And we need to understand that God made the material world, and he declared it to be good, not holy and undesirable. Furthermore, we're required to do whatever we do as unto the Lord, and this means all things. There is no differentiation made between so-called what we call spiritual things and secular things, but the Bible requires that we do all things as unto the Lord. Part of our work is to bring the planet back to where it was before the fall. And this is what redemption is all about. In your first year tapes, you heard the comment that God is a worker and we are called to work with him. We can never overemphasize that statement, and I feel we need to look at the kingdom concept of work for a few minutes before we go on into some further things I want to discuss. Now that you're in the second year of the program, you understand that work existed before the fall, and it is not part of the curse. Certainly the world frequently calls it a curse, and I think many of us in our dualistic attitudes as Christians see work as a hindrance between us and fulfilling the purposes of God. And this is a total contradiction to terms, and nothing could be further from the truth. Adam and Eve were given work to do in tending and stewarding God's creation before the fall. and it was a real blessing to them and work, now that we're in the process of redemption and restoration, is meant to be a real blessing for us today. I want to look at a few purposes that work has, and that way God has given us work, and many of these purposes work is unique in being able to provide them for us. The first one, and really the most important one I want to look at, is that work is a God-given means whereby man establishes dominion over the earth and realizes his or her calling under God. I just want to repeat that. Work is a God-given means whereby man establishes dominion over the earth and realizes his or her calling under God. Here's what I mean by this. As we work with God as Christians, we find out a whole lot about ourselves, and we find out a whole lot about God. Some of the people that I know best and have come to love best are people that I work with. It's one thing to go out and enjoy ourselves and go to the movies or play sport together and do all those good things, and I'm very much in favor of doing those things together. But it's another thing to be working together. And through our work and through sometimes pressure and a number of other things that come up in the job situation, we find out a whole lot about ourselves. We find out a whole lot about God and some areas that he is working on in us and wants to work on in us, and we find out a whole lot about one another. God's intention before the fall was that Adam and Eve would work together with him, taking creation for the way it was at that time and developing it into where God wanted it to be. And it wasn't that it wasn't good beforehand, but God instigated this with Adam and Eve so that as they did that, they would learn about themselves, they would learn about him, and they would learn about one another. It's not that God couldn't do it himself. Of course he could. He created the whole earth just by speaking it into existence. But he wanted to work with Adam and Eve, and then to work with him and one another, and finding out who they were and who he was, and then just having the joy of working together on such a project. And God's purpose is exactly the same for us today. As God works with us and as we work with him, we learn how he does things, and we learn much about who he is and who he wants us to be. Another point is that work uses and develops the talents and gifts we have been given. And this is not only beneficial in itself, but again, it reveals to us who we really are. We find out a lot about some of the talents and the creative things in us and the things that we do and that we're able to achieve. Next point, work is a very powerful tool and getting to know those that God has called us to be alongside of on the wall. We can't do the work God has called us to do by ourselves. We are dependent on doing it with one another. And as we learn our strengths and also our weaknesses, and as we learn one another's strengths and weaknesses, so we can work together building the wall, or in easy to understand terms, as we can work together and being about bringing a restoration to this planet in whatever area God's called us to, so we can learn about one another and learn how to bring the best out of one another as we work together. Work is a tool that enables us to feel productive. It enables us to feel that we are achieving something in life, and this is essential for our well-being. Normally, if I've had a day when everything seems to have gone wrong at work and I haven't achieved much, I come home feeling quite miserable or feeling disappointed. I can feel down. And I can say to my wife, well, things just didn't go well at work today. And it affects my well-being. Yet if I've had a good day, I say, well, I did this and I did that, and it all worked out very well, and I feel good about it. Now, if we've had a bad day, that's part of the process, because we need to push back into God and find out what we need to overcome the problems and the difficulties that we're having. And again, we grow not only in learning about ourselves and God, but we grow in our measure of achievement and usefulness. And this is very important to us. The final point I want to make about work here is that it enables us to properly enjoy rest. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12 says, "The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep." There is something about coming home after doing a hard day's work and being tired, which is enjoyable. It's a different type of tiredness than if you stayed up all night watching movies or partying or doing whatever you were doing. We enjoy rest because of a healthy tiredness, and we can sit back and consider and enjoy the fruit of our labors. It's a very important part of life that God has given to us. We often hear talk about how good it would be never to have to work again. Yet it is interesting to note, though, that for people put in prison or any of the penal institutions, being allowed to work is a privilege given to the well-behaved, and it is taken off them as an effective form of discipline. So it's very interesting to discover that people in prison long to be allowed to do some or almost any form of work. This tells us so much, which gets back obviously to the fact that all mankind instinctively know in the depths of their beings that work is their destiny in God, and it contributes so much to all of us, to who we are. We discover so much about ourselves as we work, and when we're separated away from it for long enough, most of us begin to long for something worthwhile to do. It's also part of a creativity that God's put in us. As Christians, we should not only enjoy our work, but we should delight in it. What I need to touch on, though, is that since the fall, there is a curse on our work, which often brings hard labor and difficulty with it. Work also confronts us with the fact of the fall, which we often don't like. When God sent Adam and Eve out from the Garden of Eden, he said to them, "Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." What that is saying is, where before we worked under the empowerment of God and we worked with God, the work was enjoyable, there was going to be a whole measure since the fall where work was going to be hard, it was going to be a toil, we were going to sweat, just saying that we're going to have to put so much effort into producing a produce or getting something back as a result of our labors. And we are confronted with that a lot out in the workforce and in the things that we do. Everywhere we're confronted with the fallen state of mankind. We're confronted with imperfection. We're confronted with endeavoring to do things and having to have several attempts at it before we get it right. However, we need to see that Jesus was the last Adam. And in him, these things are there to be overcome. As we tap into him and learn of his ways, our work should become easy. It should become far more productive. He has said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So as we begin to allow him to bring the redeemed nature out of us, so we should become more productive in our work. We should become more wise in the way that we go about it. And our character should be developed as we overcome some of the problems and difficulties that we're likely to encounter. The last point I want to make here is that our place of work is an amazing mission field. It places many of us alongside unbelievers for 40 hours a week, where we all eventually get to see who the person or people we are working with really are. As we gain one another's trust, and please understand this can take time, but as we do this, we often get wonderful opportunities to share our faith, not only in words, but also by our actions. Our coming into the workplace anywhere should have a very positive response on the environment. And we need to allow God to train us in how to bring glory to his name as this happens. Sometimes I'm very disappointed to hear that Christians are either very poor employees because they rate their occupation so low, or they see it just as filling in time. And this really grieves our Father's heart, who has asked, as we mentioned before, that we do all things as unto Him and glorify Him in all that we do. Colossians 3:23-25 is that passage of Scripture if you want to look it up. Another point of concern I have is that often I've sat with Christians who have said, oh, can you please pray with me or whatever, because I'm being persecuted in my workplace and all the people are giving me a hard time. And sometimes in investigating it, I find that they're not being persecuted, they're just very unpopular. And this is not because of their Christianity or their faith or belief, but it's because they clearly reveal a judgment of others. They continually condemn the world around them and make it known in a very negative way that they feel that they are not part of this world or this environment, and it's only by their good grace they're tolerating it. And this really comes off in a way that it puts everybody down or says, hey, we're better than all of you. And this creates a lot of resentment and a lot of trouble in the workplace, and I have dealt with many, many situations where this has arisen. Now, this is not the heart of Christ. Jesus never did this. He used every situation He came into to speak to men where they were at. And He wants us to do the same. Jesus' rebuke and often even the vehemence which He expressed to people were to the religious leaders of the day, not to the common, ordinary, everyday people that He found Himself around. He would confront them, but He was continually appealing to them. He was continually bringing love to them, and He was always looking for opportunities to illustrate or reveal who His Father was. And we need to go about this the same way in the workplace. It may be a long time before we've won enough trust and respect to explain to people where we're coming from. But that starts by accepting people who they are and showing them genuine love. I love the passage in Colossians 4:6 which says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. That's a great workplace scripture. And we would do well to take that on board and really ask God to give us the wisdom and the grace to do that in a way that brings glory to Him and has an impact to those around us that we're working with. I'd like to talk a little now about our work ethic or how we should work. As Christians, we should be known as outstanding workers because our Father invented work. It's our Father who has called us to work. And it is our Father who wants to empower us in all sorts of ways in the workplace. Our motivation comes from the fact that through our work we are serving our God. I'd like to encourage all of you to regularly read the book of Proverbs, which gives us wonderful insights to so many things, but especially the work ethic that God requires us to have. In fact, here's a good little tip which could help you. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and it's a really good concept to read each chapter on its date in the month. It doesn't take long, and it gets us through the book once every month. So on the 3rd of May, read Proverbs 3, and on the 4th, read Proverbs 4, and so on and so on. And if for some reason you miss a day, just jump ahead, and on the 6th or the 7th, read Proverbs 6 or 7, and carry on doing that. But your intention should be that every month you've read through the book of Proverbs. You will find it such a practical book and has so many things to say that apply to everyday life that your journey in God will really start to benefit from it. The book of Proverbs praises hard work and condemns laziness. It holds work in very high esteem, and it tells us that a man skilled in labor will stand before kings. The point it's making here is that a person who becomes very skilled in their labor will go a long way in life and will always be sought after. The book of Proverbs tells us to be hardworking, diligent, honest in our dealings with people. It tells us to continue to work hard when we are tired, and it tells us to be a blessing to all those around us and to prepare for and set aside for the future in our work. Don't just look towards today, but also to the future, not only by ways of income and what we do with the money that we're paid, but by ways of our career choices and opportunity and advancements and all, to continually seek God and all He would have for us in that. I long for the day when, as Christians, our attitude to our work will be such that we'll be like Joseph. Everywhere Joseph went, he encountered the blessing of God, and everybody who came into contact with Joseph came into contact with the blessing of God as well. When Joseph got into the high places in Egypt, God's blessing came into those places. When Joseph was in jail, God's blessing came to the jail. And everywhere Joseph went, such as was his attitude and his response to God and all those things, the blessings of God came with him. I long for the day when our employers see that by employing us, they inherit a blessing from God. And they see that not only through our work, but also through a presence we bring with us, and also just through reasons they don't even understand, the blessing of God comes upon their workplace by having us there. Incidentally, we should pray that too. We should pray for God's blessing to come upon our employer and the place of employment where we're working in. If you're an employee, your workplace should be receiving the blessing of God because of what you bring to it. And this is something that I am convinced God desires to achieve through each of us. I just want to finish this section now by allowing the Apostle Paul to make the final statement on work. I remember my father, who is not a Christian, saying this many times to me as I grew up. In fact, it wasn't until I got saved at the age of 27 that I realized he was quoting to me a biblical principle. But it's found in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and I just want to read it to you. The last part of the verse simply says this: if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. It's a very succinct statement. That's what Paul has to say on it. My father always used to say to me, if somebody is not prepared to work, they don't deserve to eat. And such is God's heart on the whole thing of work. I want to shift a little now and talk with you about making a career decision. Now, this doesn't only apply if some of you are about to leave college or graduate or whatever. Many times through our life, we feel that God is calling us to make a change or to seek some advancement or get into a different line of work or whatever. And for several years, I've worked on the board of a Christian organization that's been helping unemployed people find another job or relocate, or sometimes through injury they've had to take on a totally different occupation, and it's helped people find that. Up until the last year or so, I ran a class for 1 week in every 8, which help people work out what occupation they were suited for and then help them go out and find it. And I'd like to make a few points from what I taught in this class that may help you if you are having difficulty or even thinking about making a career decision or a career change. The first point I want to make is that we need to know that God is expecting us to be working for the best part of our lives, and pretty much for as long as our physical and mental health allows us to. And for this reason, He wants us to enjoy it, and He wants to do it with us. We have to be involved in the process with God of making a career choice or change. Please don't just sit around waiting for God to tell you what He wants to do and then bring that to you. God doesn't work that way. Yes, He certainly does have a plan and a purpose for your life, but He wants you to be involved in actively pursuing that. We sit around and just say, well, I'm just waiting for God to tell me what to do. And in fact, when I was running this course, we had a mixture of both Christian and non-Christian people on this course. And often I was quite disappointed to see that the non-Christians would go out and diligently pursue and find a job, while the Christians would tend to sit around. And when I was saying to them, what are you doing? They'd say, well, I'm just really waiting on God. I was about to go down the road and look for this job, but I just didn't get a about it, so I'm just waiting on God now. And then often they'd request prayer because nothing is happening. But I certainly coerced them that they needed to get off their backside and get out on the road like the non-Christians are doing and actively pursue and seek whatever God had for them out there. And I think it's very important that we understand that. As our children were growing up, when it was their birthday or whatever, we didn't say, well, we're taking you to a movie and we've decided what it is. We'd sit down and say, what would you like to do on your birthday? You'd like to go and see a movie? What movie would you like to go to see? You'd like to go out to dinner? Where would you like to go? What sort of meal would you like to have? And we wanted to work with them actively as they made their choices and decisions on these things. God is the same with us. He expects us to be involved in those decisions and actively pursue them along the way. Okay, the first point I'd make to you is that if you have absolutely no idea of what to do, take an aptitude or vocational guidance test or character test. That there's plenty of those sorts of tests around, and if you can't find any, you'll find plenty on the internet. But these tests are very useful to give us an indication of what we are most suited for. I've got two or three very good ones that I use here, but most of them endeavor to find your strengths and weaknesses. Now, it's not what is right and what is wrong. They're just evaluating your different responses to things. And out of that, they try and align you with certain types of vocations, certain types of careers that the test reveal you would be best suited for. And although they're not completely precise or infallible, they certainly can be very useful in giving you a good indication of what sort of work you're best suited for and what sort of work you may enjoy doing. The next point is that it's very helpful for you to write out a list of what things you would like most from a job. Again, there's no right or wrong. Different people have different things that they're looking for or they prefer, and this may change as the years go by, but in front of me, I have a form that we would get people on our course to go down through and mark it off in their priorities. What's your first priority, second, and so on. And I just want to read you a few of these choices we were given them to mark. And it would start off saying, I want a job with. And then here are some of the choices. High wages or pay, with plenty of holidays, with a pleasant work environment, with status where I'm well thought of, with some responsibility, with some good prospects for promotion, a job that requires problem solving, a job that has good or interesting workmates, a job where I can help other people, a job where I feel I am doing something useful for society, a job where I can work with others, or sometimes it's a job where I can work alone. There's so many things, a job that fits in with my interests or hobbies. There's so many things, but get a list and go down through a list of the four or five things that you most want out of a job. So first you need to decide what sort of job you feel you're best suited for or you'd like to do. And you may have three or four options in this. Secondly, go through a list of what you want from the job, what you expect from your workplace, what type of job do you want. The next thing I want to say to you is practice interview skills. It is the interview that gets you the job. Employers often spend weeks and weeks preparing for an interview, and we walk in totally unprepared, sit down in a chair, and think that something special is going to make us beat 50 or 60 other people who are applying for the same job. This is not the case, and it will not happen. We need to put a lot of time and effort into the interview. Get a friend or your parents or brother or sister, whatever, to sit down and ask you the sort of questions you expect to be asked in an interview. And rehearse the answers until you can answer them clearly and confidently. This will make a real difference, and it means that you will go into an interview with an expectancy and a confidence which will go very, very well, because employers employ people who are confident and who come across well. Finally, and most importantly, ask yourself, what are you going to bring to your job? If you want to be a doctor, you need to seek God on what it is about you being a doctor that's going to be different than any other doctor. Don't just say, well, I want to be a good doctor. There are thousands of good doctors around. You, because you're a Christian, and because you have a vision of the kingdom of God and what God is about on this planet, you want to be a doctor who's going to bring a kingdom perspective to medicine that nobody else, except maybe some other Christians, are carrying. The same applies if you want to be a scientist or an ecologist. As an ecologist, you need to pick up an understanding and a view of this planet just as God does. And knowing what God is wanting to do with this planet, your approach to your work should be so different. than anybody else in that line of work. Now, the same applies if you're a street sweeper. You should be out there with a whole kingdom mandate thinking, I'm keeping this place clean, it's going to keep down disease, it's going to give me an opportunity to talk to people. You normally do it early in the morning, and so you're going to see some people who are down and out and whatever, and God may give you the opportunity to minister to them or speak to them or whatever. And you should turn up to your work as a street sweeper, thankful to God for the opportunities He's giving you to make an impact on His kingdom through this job. I trust you see what I'm saying in that. It is so important that as Christians, we're not just good workers, but we are workers who are working with our Father to make a difference on this planet in whatever way we can. And our whole focus and our whole approach to our work should be so different. So once you've decided on a job, once you've decided on the sort of place you want to work in, ask God what He wants you to bring there as a representative of His kingdom and somebody who's been put on this planet to bring reformation. It's important that we seek God in that. Our job is not just a job. It should be a way of life for us where we are using every opportunity that arises in it to impact the kingdom of God, and we're using our attitude and our approach and our work ethic to bring glory to God and impact the people around us. In conclusion, I want to say this. Your work is going to be vital to who you are and how God shapes you. See that you choose your career wisely, that you continue to see God in it, get the advice of friends and teachers and people around you and all of those that are in relationship with you and those that are mentoring you, and continually bring your attitude and your work ethic for them so that you're continually in the place of growing and coming to a place of maturity and becoming more and more useful to God and to your employer. It's going to determine a lot about who you are and about who you stand on the wall with and what contribution you make to building up the kingdom of God. May God richly bless you in it. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.